This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. We have two stories today. Religious violence is on the rise worldwide. In the Muslim world, Sunnis and Shiites are each other's throats. Jews have been singled out for violence in both Europe and the Middle East. Christians have been murdered in Libya. The West and East are divided as never before. Misunderstanding each other's cultures is fraught with danger for all concerned. In the first story, I speak with Dr. Tobin Grant. He's a professor of political science at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. He works with many foreign students, and he discusses the misconceptions many of these foreigners have about American society. In our second story, misunderstanding is a two-way street. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch says that the U.S. is badly mistaken about not recognizing the link between terrorism and militant Islam.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. International Christian Concern condemns the brutal killings of 21 Egyptian Christians in a video released by the media arm of the militant Islamic group known as ISIS or the Islamic State. The video, titled "A Message Signed with Blood to the Nation of the Cross," appears to be shot on the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea in northern Libya. ISIS militants in military fatigues walked behind the captives in orange jumpsuits before forcing them to kneel, in a style that emulates the videos released by ISIS of brutal killings in Iraq and Syria. In marked contrast to the U.S., public figures who disavow a belief in God tend to win approval from a growing number of British people. A survey of 1,500 adults, released February the 12th by YouGov, a British market research firm, shows that as many as a third of all Britons do not believe in God or any kind of higher power. The poll found that Nick Clegg, Deputy Prime Minister, and Ed Miliband, leader of the opposition Labour Party, were viewed positively because they state openly that they do not believe in God. That's a stark contrast to the U.S., where the number of openly atheist politicians in Congress hovers around zero. The study also shows a marked divide between young people, who increasingly embrace atheism, and older people, who identify with their religious upbringing. Almost 1 in 3 under the age of 24 declare themselves atheists, compared to only 1 in 10 over the age of 60. 33% of those surveyed said they do not believe in any sort of God or spiritual power. At 8:45 a.m. on Saturday, January 17, the Reverend Steve Edge of St. Timothy's Lutheran Church in Sunderland, England, received a phone call. "Pastor, get down to the church. It's on fire." Timothy is a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, an LCMS partner church. The congregation, the only ELCE church in Northeast England, was founded in October 1954, and its current building was consecrated in 1966. The church fire was reported by a passing dog walker, and by the time Edge and his wife arrived, there were fire engines and police cars in the parking lot. Edge says, "We watched as the firemen finished putting out the fire and vented the building before letting us in, by which time our church was a crime scene. Once inside, it was evident that the church had been vandalized and then set on fire." World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Wilongasi Lutheran Fahama.
Dr. Tobin Grant is a professor of political science at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. He's closely associated with the State Department's summer educational program, which is designed to familiarize foreign students about things American. Professor Grant says that there are many misconceptions about the role of religion in the United States.
I think the biggest misconception is that in a lot of countries, religion and the government are closely tied together. And so they assume that because most Americans are Christian and presidents and politicians use religious language, that there's a closer tie between Christianity and the government than the U.S.
In a recent lecture presentation before a group of foreign students from Azerbaijan, Turkey, Georgia, and Armenia, he outlined specific things common to other countries that are not present in the United States.
In some countries, your religion is on your passport or on your government ID, or there's a government or there's a ministry of religion that regulates religion, or that religious groups have to register and you have to be an official religious group.
None of this happens here. The extent of secularization of the American government surprises many of the foreign students.
Our government is a lot more secular than many foreign students expect.
In most of the world, religion is embedded to one degree or another in government. In certain Middle Eastern countries, religion and government are inseparable. Even in Western Europe, many countries have an official religion, such as the Anglican Church in Britain.
The UK, it was only in the last 10 years that I believe Norway stopped having everyone baptized. Most countries have official religion.
In some countries, religion and nationalism are intermixed. Professor Grant notes that in Italy, public displays of religion have support from some groups that are normally considered hostile to religion.
There was a case in Italy recently, within the past few years, of questions about whether or not crucifixes should be up on the walls in public schools. And some of the biggest backers of it were communists and socialists who were very anti-religion, but they just saw the Catholic Church as part of being Italian.
Even in countries that have religious freedom, there's often one religion that is, well, first among equals.
What often happens in countries is that there might be religious freedom and other groups can form, but there'd be one group that has preferential status.
This can mean that while non-official religions are tolerated, the official faith receives governmental support.
In most other countries, you have essentially a state-run monopoly that the state actively supports and provides money to religion.
Americans are a religious people on the whole, but this is not reflected in our government.
We have a lot of religion involved because the people are more religious, but we have less institutional involvement in government.
Not only is there no official state religion in the United States, Article 6 of the Constitution specifically states that no religious test will ever be required to hold public office.
you don't have an official state church. There's no mention of religion in the Constitution except to say, keep it out, no religious tests and that sort of thing. And so there's a lot of, so it takes a while for students to really appreciate this.
Professor Grant says this lack of official governmental support puzzles many foreign students. For example, they don't understand how religious groups can survive without governmental financial subsidy.
This is one of the things that I have to tell students, because once they start to think about it, they're like, but where do these religious groups get their money? And they can't understand that you could have this many churches and synagogues and mosques operate based on donations.
Americans are a generous people. Professor Grant says that we as a people donate $100 billion a year to religious organizations and charities. These religious organizations perform many of the functions that government does in other countries.
But they do know that Americans tend to give money and donate money just in general to a lot of nonprofits, in part because of what government doesn't do. And so in other countries, things that government would do, so people pay taxes for, and here it's more donations-based, but that would include regular religious activities as well, a lot of social safety net type work and charity work.
The United States was founded by a polyglot of faiths. From the very beginning, the framers wanted to make sure that all faiths would be respected.
Also, too, just the amount of diversity and the fact that the government doesn't actively regulate religion, it puts everybody on an equal playing field religiously.
This rich religious diversity is not typical in the world, where religion is often linked to country, ethnicity, or class.
Most places in Europe, in part because of the wars, regions were decidedly one religion or one sect, and that was pretty much it. And even if they allowed other sects and other religions, there was definitely a preferred group that was the official group that received the endorsement of government and the state.
The founding fathers learned, and they sought to avoid the problems of Europe, specifically religious conflict.
That was one of the goals of setting up the Constitution the way that it was, and the religious freedom originally was to avoid all those sort of fights that had been raging in Europe over the previous hundreds of years.
One thing in particular that puzzles many foreign students, according to Professor Grant, is the support of the American people and government for the state of Israel.
They look and they can't figure out why the U.S. would support Israel and with such fervor. And in fact, a lot of people who do international relations are like, most of the time it's like, why would a power as great as the U.S. care about a country so small?
Students from Islamic countries are especially puzzled by the support.
This is particularly true of students from Muslim countries, but I've seen it with groups from Southeast Asia and other places. But it just tends to come up as more of a hot button issue with the groups that we have from Muslim countries like Pakistan or Azerbaijan or something like that.
Professor Grant says many students from Muslim countries believe conspiracy theories about American support for Israel.
And so the Muslim students, or even if they're not Muslim, if they're coming from Muslim countries, oftentimes they just go to a conspiracy theory of, well, it must be Jewish bankers who are bankrolling this and paying off politicians, and that's how they're getting the support, because they can't figure out any other reason.
Professor Grant explains to the students that the support for Israel is part of the American experience.
Part of it is coming out of World War II, and part of it is, ties with another democratic country. But a lot of it is that you have Christians who are highly supportive of Jewish people, and that you actually have Christian Zionists in the U.S.
The tradition of tolerance in the United States has led many religions to our shores. As Lutherans, this gives us the opportunity to fulfill Jesus' call to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has brought the nations to our shores. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.